Hey, everybody. What's up? It's your boy, MJ. Just wanted to say a little something about this special content that we're bringing you from Hospice Daron and Paso Robles. These episodes are made possible by the generous contribution of Jeremy Leffert and Mel Burns. Hey, I'm MJ Taylor, also known as a black wine guy. I went from being a totally obsessed wine newbie to becoming the world's first ever African-American fine and rare wine auctioneer in less than 3 years. In this show, I'll be talking to the mavericks, the philosophers, the players, and the deep thinkers who inhabit the world of wine. They'll share their experiences on how they made it, but more importantly, how they failed and got back up again. So grab a glass and let's get to it. This is the Black Wine Guy Experience. Yo, what's up? It is your boy, MJ. Welcome to the Black Wine Guy Experience. Oh, no, it's not my podcast per
se. Yeah, I was almost going to come to be like, hey, what up? It's your boy, Adam Montiel. Welcome to the Black
that
Wine Guy Podcast.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, MJ. Welcome to Where Wine Takes You, the official podcast of Paso Wine Country.
Yeah.
I'm out here. We're not in Paso proper, but I'm here with my man, Adam Montiel. We got a couple winemakers here with us.
It's going to be fun, dude. I'm really excited that you're out here. The first time I met you was through Jeremy Leffert. Also, Josh Clapper, who was nice enough to lend us his space. We are in San Luis Obispo. We got Hospice Daron coming up, and with so much great wine all around us, and Josh, literally, his winery is 90 seconds from my house and 90 seconds from the radio station, so it made for a perfect place, and he's so kind, always so kind enough to like lend himself, so thank you, Josh. But MJ, man, back in California, you feeling it or what?
Hey, man, listen, California is like it's like my spiritual home. I don't know if it's my spiritual home, but like...
We're going to have a lot of people at home being pissed at you now.
Nah, fuck them. they know I don't like Jersey. I mean, you know, it's like that thing. There's an expression like a prophet in his own land is a fool. So just like when I came out to California back in 99... To the Central Coast. Actually, I was telling Jeremy, like, to the Central Coast Classic. So, you know, Pismo.
Oh, Central Coast Wine Classic?
Central Coast Wine
Archie
Classic.
Archie McLaren.
Yeah,
Archie McLaren. Oh, my legend.
Oh, my God.
Pour some out for him.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was my first time I ever come to California. I was 30 years old. And I remember getting off the plane in Santa Barbara, and I was just like I felt like the energy. I was like, ah. And I moved out like 3 months later.
Yeah. Oh, you moved out here?
Yeah, I lived out in Santa Barbara for basically 10 years.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. I had a little dip back and forth, but moved out in 99, went back for a few months, and I did it the right time. I went like back in November, so I was like, by January, I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here, then came back. So, yeah, I love, you know, people always like, why do you like so much Central Coast wine so much? I'm like, because that's like my wine home. It's the wine country I lived in.
How do you connect with all this wine back there? Obviously, it's easy with, you know, virtual, this and that. I know you have a lot of guests on the podcast that come into the studio and chat with you. Is it just kind of, hey, like, send me some wine, we'll chat about you? How are you connecting and getting this wine into your place?
I mean, fuck, the pandemic was very good to me.
I remember you saying that when we first met, it was kind of in the thick of things.
Yeah.
And this is when you were kind of just on the come up. And
Yeah, because I came out last April, almost a year ago. So fucking, it was Easter weekend. And I think we had only done like 20 some. We had like 20 some odd episodes, if that. We were like in the teens. And, but I lost my job, which was awesome. Got a little severance.
What were you into?
Oh, I worked for a nonprofit, which I hated, but I was doing good work. So I worked for a program that helped kids in the inner city, like Gary. I'm talking Gary, Indiana, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Went to his house when I was out there. One
really?
Time.
No way.
Yeah. Newark, New Jersey, New Haven, Connecticut, which is seriously a depressed town. People think Yale, but then New Haven is like, if it weren't for Yale, New Haven would be Gary, Indiana. I just started the podcast because podcast basically came out of Instagram, came out of social.
This podcast started somewhat during the pandemic. Well, I want to say June of 20.
Okay.
And you're right. I mean, a lot of people, they want to travel. They can't. They want to go out and eat. They can't shoot. In some places in Southern California, you want to go run at the beach. You can't. I mean, it got pretty crazy. And it was actually a great time to birth something like this.
Yeah, it was perfect. And to your point, what happened was I was kind of goofing when I started the Black Wine Guy account. You know, I was really kind of throwing shade at influencers. And then...
like it was a little tongue-in-cheek.
It was definitely tongue-in-cheek.
But it was also at a time when, I mean, that chat was heavy. I mean, we're talking June 20, George Floyd.
Well, that's what happened. So I had started it like in 2017. Never saw my face.
Yeah.
But it was after George Floyd. And that's where I met my producer, Lonnie, because someone she had worked with used to do these day drinking talks.
And God bless.
And
love them.
Yeah. And we're day drinking right now.
Right, yeah. Ching.
And so she wanted to have me on, like you said, in the conversation of what it was like to be a black wine professional. And I was like, I don't really have like those kind of stories because like I started at the top. Now I'm at the bottom. That was I started at Acker Wines, which is like now the top auction house. And
also, don't you want to be and forgive me, I don't want to word this.
No.
Don't you want to be the best wine professional?
And that's also the tongue-in-cheek with the black wine guy.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I moved out here, it was like people, like political, like you should not denigrate people or use racial slurs, but like literally I'd go to a wine tasting and they'd be like, there was a guy, he's from New York, he's 5'9", 175 pounds, he wears glasses, I think he went to law school. Motherfucker, I'm black. Like there was one black guy there. Who's the black guy at the tasting? I wouldn't be pissed off. Let's just cut to the chase, you know?
Right.
So, and I've said this a lot on my own podcast. Like, I'm just trying to have the best podcast, not the best black wine.
Yeah.
Black wine guy's kind of tongue in cheek. I know.
I think that's great. I love that about you.
Yeah, I know who I am. I'm in this game to win, and to bring people together. And I think once we can just like, okay. That's it. Okay, you're black. Okay, we're done. What do we like? What do we have in common?
I can't tell you how many like badass winemakers that happen to be women are so over the cliche of like women and wine. Like, oh my gosh, I have a vagina. I can make wine too.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, no. I mean, you're an incredible world-renowned winemaker.
You know, I have had a lot of powerful women on my podcast. And when I hear these stories, like I had this one, actually she didn't come on, but I went out to dinner, you know, because people, once the podcast started blowing, people were like, oh, you know, try my wine. Let me take you to dinner. I have some people who go for your podcast.
Sucks, huh?
Yeah, it does suck. It's rough. My wife's like, you're out. I'm like, tastings and dinners. That's the gig, you know? But this woman was like saying how like in like the 80s, like Frederick Wildman, which is a huge importer, like she's like 60 to 70% of the salespeople were women. And like, so there is, listen, things have changed, but I think also there's always been women in this game. It's been hard, but like we've interviewed a winemaker from Burgundy who's like Eva Ray, who's like, you know, she used being a woman to her advantage. She's like, I would go and ask the winemakers in Burgundy and they would, you know, like if it had been a man, they'd have been competitive. Like, and she let them think she was like this naive little girl. But I mean, you go back, look in California, Heidi Barrett, Helen Turley, list goes on and on and on. Like, you know, so it's not, I think we need to look for what has already happened and build on it instead of trying to tear down things that are, you know, I don't think are inherently biased or,
systemically.
Systemically.
Yeah, sure.
Because I say this all the time. Like, when people talk about NBA players, you know, and how it's great. It is great, but listen, those are just rich males. If you break it down, they happen to play basketball, be tall, and most of them happen to be black. But like, you know, how do you get a winery in Napa? You have fucking tens of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, are we really looking at things as they are? Well, this is true. We look at things how we want to see them, not as how they can actually.
Sure, right.
You know? So, I think that it is exciting, though. But it did. I'm not gonna lie. That George Floyd also catapulted me because then, like, I did my first video, and it wasn't about George Floyd. I think my only post about George Floyd was I found a story about Mr. Rogers, washing his mailman's feet. And this was during the riots.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was a pastor.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers was dope.
And he was. He was telling everybody, look,
land
we're just
of make
equals.
Believe.
Exactly.
And, oh
come
my
on.
Gosh.
I've always wanted a neighbor.
Yeah, right. Just like you. And he'd do that sweater change.
Yeah, he'd a sweater, and he'd wear the rock the
he
fucking
the
Keds.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, the Keds, and you tie and lace them up. You know, I was like, there's so many different ways to be a woman, to be black, to be Latina. So. I think there's is a danger in saying this is the way it should be and this is how you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And
right.
if you're going to be in this, and you know, so that's all I'm saying. I think there are very many ways to be who you are. We're all unique individuals.
You know, you're right. I love the idea of having conversations that have probably been, you know, needing to be had for a long time. I love the idea of, you know, giving a voice to some underrepresented folks. No matter what collective we might identify with here or there, to be you. Be you.
Right.
Be you.
I mean, that's what everybody says. I mean, do you. I mean,
yeah.
that's a common theme in hip-hop is do you, right? So
where'd you grow up?
I grew up at the Jersey Shore, and not the fucked up one you've seen on MTV. I mean, the real.
There's a nice one?
Jersey Shore. That's so funny. Well, this motherfucker's from California. Where'd you grow up?
I'll answer all your questions.
Yeah, where'd you,
I grew up in Agoura Hills, just like northern LA County.
Oh, okay. I know what Agoura Hills is. I lived here, man.
Yeah.
So, the Jersey Shore, some beautiful beaches. And swimmable, unlike the water here in California.
Why? Because it's too cold?
Too fucking cold. The water here, are you kidding me? That water comes down from fucking Alaska, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, growing up in Southern California, we swam in the water all the time. Here, it's probably a good 15 degrees cooler than it is, say, in, you know, right when you, just north of Santa Barbara, you get to, I'm sure Jeremy's familiar, like Halama Beach, things like that. Once you're north of the Halama, it's cold.
I lived in Santa Barbara for like 10 years. That water was pretty free. Unless it was like an unseasonably hot day, I wasn't getting in the water.
It was too cold.
Yeah.
So that water's warm over there?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's warm.
You got waves?
Dude, do you know the original Ron John is on the East Coast? The polyurethane skateboard wheel, East Coast brought all that shit forth.
Really?
Yes, serious surf culture. And Kelly Slater's from Florida, right? Yeah, he's from fucking Florida.
But you don't think of New Jersey when you're talking serious surf culture, dude.
Listen, hurricanes. The best time to surf in Jersey is hurricane season, October, September. Yeah. Tasty waves, bro.
We don't get those in California. The best time is to surf right after an earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. ride the tsunami.
Right, yeah, ride the tsunami. Oh, my gosh. So you grew up there, and then what? What about school? And then how'd you get into that?
I was an athlete at first, so I just went to college so I could keep athleting. You know, mm-hmm. I ran track, so I was a runner.
Still run?
Nah, I can't stand that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Then I ended up transferring to Southern Connecticut, which is in New Haven, and I majored in communications, right? So I've always been vocal. You know, my mom was very, very funny. She was hilarious, and she was also really religious. She was Jehovah's Witness. So I knew how to read. I knew how to read when I was four. I used to have to knock on doors and shit.
Sure.
So I was used to speaking publicly. So I think I just majored it because I knew it'd be easy.
Were you always real like gregarious and talking to people and they're like, oh my gosh, look at the MJ.
You know, I kind of once I knew, but I was like a little bit shy. Believe it or not.
Really?
I'm really introverted. And I think people don't understand. People think I could have a podcast and I could do videos that I'm extroverted. But like I'm a really internal person, you know?
But I mean, we all are a little bit. But I saw you when I first met you at Jeremy's place up at Tooth & Nail last time. I mean, you work a room.
I know how to work the room,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, right? So
yeah, I mean, and I love people. And I think
sometimes extroverted people kind of like calling themselves introverted.
No, I think that I could see that.
I do. I don't know why.
No, but if you really knew me,
yeah.
isn't that like a dream game? If you really knew
me.
my mother was definitely. I got that from my mom. I watched my mom. She's funny. She was working a room for no reason. She just loved people. Oh, you know.
She's still around?
No, she passed away.
Oh,
and I remember like my mom had like 400 or 500 people at her funeral. Right. Like she had my mother had people whose doors she used to knock on. As a Jehovah's Witness, come to her funeral. Like, they never, like, came to church with her or anything, but, like, they just, my mom made them feel good, right? So I
love that. I remember when you have those moments, you get to learn about stuff about your mom that you never knew.
Yep. And so, I mean, that's kind of how I grew up. And
so close with your mom.
You know, this is the first time I'm saying this because this is fun. This is mm-hmm. a good interview. It's a good conversation.
That's what I do, bro.
I know. You're like the Latino West Coast version of me. You get the stories.
All right, go ahead. Tell me what you're going
to
say now.
When my mom, like me and my mom used to fight, right? Like not fight, but we were, and like I remember when she passed, I was telling my wife, I was like, yo, my mom was, she was not even my best friend. Even better, she was my nemesis, right? Who knows you like mom? Like she knew every fucking move, and I was like, I'm like, no, I wasn't gonna do that, and she knew I was gonna do it, and so like it's been a trip because like I didn't realize my mom was my best friend, you know? And
that's a really cool story.
Yeah, but totally like a nemesis. Like, we just used to go at it.
And then you get into wine auctions, is that right?
Yeah, so, I mean...
Are you like an auctioneer?
Yeah.
Like that?
I did go to... How much would you give me for it? I got a fine bottle of Destinado Grande and Rosé Grenache, and, you know, I went to... That's the best school I went to. I went to the Harvard of Auctioneering Schools. The Missouri... There's actually auctioneering schools.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard about them.
St. Joseph's, Missouri. And they call it... It's called the Missouri Auction School. It's called the Harvard of Auctioneering Schools. And, like... I'm out there. I'm like 29 years old, dreadlocks, you know, from New York City, going to Missouri, and like everybody else there is like to auction off steers, cattle,
right, sure.
And maybe the one off estate sale when Miss Johnson dies, and we're gonna put all our stuff, you know. And they were like, wine auctions. Any money in that? I'm like, fucking $2 million. And this is like, earlier I was like, you can make $2 million in a day at a wine auction. Like, you know.
Now, auction, what I'll do is I'll host for auctioneers and events that will want me to host their event. They'll often ask me to do an auction. And I say, no, look, you really need to get an auctioneer because not only is it a better presentation, but you will secure more money. And that's the idea, right?
Right.
So there have been events where I'll even take, hey, I'll take less because I can't do that. I don't want to do that because I want you to get a real auctioneer. There's a couple auctioneers locally that I have a good relationship with, I'll do gigs with. Man, you and I would kill them.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
And I don't know. Do you take a percentage of it? Do you stick
a flat fee? Yeah, it depends. Some auctioneers take a percentage.
Yeah.
And then others will take a flat fee. I think the smart move, depending on who you're auctioning for.
Or how good you are.
Yeah, how good you are. Wine auctions, I mean, you can be good, but the reality, wine auctions are a different beast. People either want the fucking wine or they don't, man.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with you. And so, like,
You really can't pull it out of them?
Nah. I mean, you can... All you want to get at an auction, you want two guys bidding over the same fucking wine.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. Look, we have 12 bottles Chateau Petrus 1982 original wooden case. That's all you got to fucking say. Whoever wants it is they're gonna you know bid on it. Now there is personality that you bring into it that I think that can amp the crowd up. You want to win an auction fever. But essentially, like, you know, if you're going to an auction at like an Acker or a Christie's or Sotheby's and it's going to be $20 million, take a fucking cut of the percentage, man.
Right.
Like you know, yeah. You know, don't be like, I'll take $20,000. Fuck that.
Right. Yeah. God, it's so interesting, the wine auction.
Yeah.
What do you like about Paso?
Oh, man. My man Eric Booker said it. Paso's the shit. I love the laid-back vibe.
He said, Paso's the shit.
He's like dude, Paso's,
Eric Jensen,
Paso's the shit, man. Yeah. You know it. But it's a place where I think, you know, when you do this thing, like particularly my podcast, I don't know, some people are like, why are you ragging on Napa Valley? I'm like, dude, I'm not ragging on them. If a guest comes on who was a winemaker at a cult winery and says, the price is not out of control, I'm not going to disagree with them because if you look at it, you know, Paso's still like the land of opportunity in California. If someone was telling me the other day, like big Napa wineries are coming down here to buy wine. I mean, and you had on your podcast.
Well, they've been getting like Zinfandel and Cabernet from us for decades.
Years. Yeah, for decades.
Yeah.
Fucking Pazenti, right? Oh, my God.
Well, sure. I mean, Zin has been going up to Napa for forever. But Cab has been going up to Napa forever.
Well, that's another thing, too. I think people need to understand in the wine game is that, you know, there's more Cabernet under Vine and Paso Robles than any other varietal and in California. And it's the single most – because it's a huge AVA.
You know? Seem to build – like really tight relationships with people in Paso. Has the relationship building been more organic and holistic in Paso than say some of the other areas that maybe you've had, you know, exposure to?
I would definitely say, you know, the pandemic changed things. People like Paso just showed me a ton of love. And it was very organic. Like I don't, you know, I say again, going back to my mom, you know, I have an ability God given to connect with people. And people just gravitated towards what I was doing and how I was doing it. And I'm just – and the other thing, I'm just – when people are like, I love what you're doing, I'm just fucking being me, man. That's the beauty of it. You know, I'm not – you know, I'm the guy who's going to drop F-bombs at the wine tasting. I don't give a shit.
I don't know if I've hogged or led the conversation.
No, I think it's just a conversation.
It's great. That's kind of what I like to do. But if you have any questions, go ahead.
Where did you grow up? Agoura Hills?
Agoura Hills, yeah. Just the northernmost town of L.A. County.
And then what did you do? What did you major in college? Because you've been in radio for a minute, right? So what did you major?
I went to school for a little bit and started like looking into like communications and took radio and media classes. And then I got my first full-time radio gig while I was in school and I left. I don't have a four-year degree.
I will tell you, I love that. That's been like...
I'm Gary Vee in it there.
Yeah, no, I kind of dig that. I'm way overeducated and that fucking shit just cost me $120,000 to pay those defaulted student loans off. So I'm not mad at anybody who can figure out what they want to do and just go do it, because, you know, being black, you're like you got to go to, like, fuck, that's it, man. Mm-hmm. Cosby shows on TV and
sure,
you know what I'm saying, like I gotta, this is how it's done, you know. Mm-hmm. My father worked at the post office, right? I knew I wasn't gonna do that. And that post office gave me a good life, gave me a middle class life.
You're right.
So I'm not denigrating it, but like, when I, you know, because I'm 50, I'll be 54, like I was full on in, you got to go to college, like that was the path. And then I went to law school, dropped out after 6 weeks, went back, finished the first year, was going to drop out again to go work in film. And then, like, let me go back. Like, there was this fear. But so now I'm glad there was a different conversation. Can you do the job? Right?
Saying yes to everything.
Yep.
Being in the right place at the right time.
Yep.
It's also a business. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yep.
And then as it slowly progresses, you can work your way up and hustle your way up.
To your point, yeah, it is. Like, and this was really freaked me out, Adam. Not freaked me out, but like, it was so fucking telling. Because I said I worked for that nonprofit that was helping kids go to college. That was their whole thing. It was just actually to get kids into college. And I remember I had a guest speaker coming one time, and he was a black man, and he had went to Columbia undergrad. And he went to Harvard for law school, just like another very successful black man. You might have heard of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a 1L when they were 3Ls at Harvard. But anyway, so this guy went to Columbia and Harvard. And he told my kids, every job I ever got was because I knew somebody. We said this before. It's networking. It's building relationships, right? People like to work with and be around people that they like. That's a bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's got nothing to do with a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So back to you though. So I love that how did you get on air?
The guy who was kind of mentoring me was like, look, if you need anything, you need an air check. And to get on the air, you need to just find someone who's going to put you on the air. And CLU, Cal Lutheran University, has an NPR station. And they were looking for volunteers to host like a jazz show right before All Things Considered. So I went in for that, and I was hosting, like, here I am hosting, like, you know, here's Stan Getz on, you know, Stan Getz on the sax, you know, so I'm like hosting music right before, and now it's time for All Things Considered. And that was literally the first time that I was on the air. Then later on, I worked at a contemporary Christian radio station hosting music, and then I went to a secular station that moved to the Central Coast, and then later on got my own morning show up in Adam in the Morning, which I do now.
But that's it, right? Like, it's repetition, right? Like, you just put in the work. And I think that's something I never got. Like, I literally, going back to me, sorry, but I thought I was going to have these pieces of paper and like, the heavens would part. I thought it was going to be like Pulp Fiction when they would open that case. They wouldn't show, but just like the golden light was just going to come out, right?
And I like that.
Yeah. But, like, and all the while, ignoring the gifts I had, right? So, with you, though, you got, like I said, you got a great voice. Like, did you know that? Like, there's someone at the radio station? Like, did you, like...
I was always really insecure about my voice, and I knew that I could probably maybe do something when I was a freshman in high school, and I was in a speech class. And a speech class was kind of like a throwaway class that a lot of seniors took as an elective. I was really excited about it, and I got into the class. I was the only freshman. It was all seniors. And then in that class, I won best voice. Mm. I was like, oh, damn, maybe there... So then I started looking, like, oh, maybe I can do something and put myself out there and not be too intimidated by it.
We met in Paso Robles last year.
Yeah.
And you have a wonderful wine podcast, and it's called Where the Wine Takes You?
Where Wine Takes You.
Where Wine Takes You.
Yes.
How did that come about, man?
So I've, during COVID, I wanted to do a podcast, and I started my own podcast right at the beginning of COVID. I was down to do whatever. And that's how it kind of went down. Joel was like, let's do one. We'll talk about Paso Wine. And I mean, it's just been such an amazing ride. We've been stoked. It's been incredible.
So Adam is one of those guys who's a DTP. Down to podcast. You ever see him in the club? Watch out.
Right.
No. Well, I mean, that's amazing. And the one you did, Mark Adams from Ledge, I remember the first one, and he's just another just – I think you asked this before. People in Paso Robles are just – they keep it real. They're 100. Yeah. It's down to earth.
The people here are definitely different. They're definitely incredible and, like, open hearts, open minds, open cellars, all of it.
So but
if I come to New York, are we going to get on – are we going to bring me into the podcast or what?
Yeah, of course, motherfucker.
Are we going to hang out? You got some spots to bring me to? I want to listen to some live music. I want to hit up some wine bars.
Dude.
Give it to Lonnie real quick. I want to hear Lonnie.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Just for a second, Lonnie. I want to meet you real quick.
That's kind of crazy because, like, since the podcast, like, we've been out. Like, I get invited to shit, man. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Watch that cord, Lonnie. See where it's not on your boom? There you go, girl. Okay.
There you go.
All right, let's talk you and I for a minute.
Hi. Wow.
MJ's going to leave the table. How do you deal with this guy? What's going on?
You know, it takes a lot of wine.
You're in the right place.
No, I want to, you know, I feel like I want to tell anyone who wants to work in media, like, if your dream isn't
to I like her voice.
She got a good voice.
I like her voice a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me get that mic a little bit fixed so I can get a little bit more of it.
If your dream isn't to do a wine podcast, something's wrong. Like, now that we know that wine podcasts exist, right? Now that you know that.
And are viable.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of a dream job, and we have 4 women that work on this team.
I got a woke podcast.
Yeah.
You woke?
I'm black. No, I'm not woke, but I'm black.
He's not. I got
Lonnie, Ronnie, Rachel, and Glow.
Yeah.
So do you guys do other podcasts too? I mean, you can't make all this money off of one.
Oh, no. MJ brings it.
Really?
Yeah, no, she does actually work. She does a lot of – she just did a big campaign for a winery that she'll remain nameless, but it was a big campaign, big bucks. She did some work for Patron.
Yeah.
She'll go do a setup, a real estate shoot in Texas with some people or Florida. Yeah. She doesn't really like her from Texas. So she works.
Necessary Media, we do everything. We do lifestyle photography, video, podcast, whatever you need for your brand.
Yeah.
This has been amazing working with MJ, seeing all this. I now have wine coming in. I'm constantly buying wine. It's like a bad habit.
Oh, for sure.
Right? No one talks about this.
Oh, yeah.
The residual habit of being like, oh, wait, I need that.
Yeah. It's so fun to do something that you love to do and doesn't feel like work.
I think wine is, you know, for me, whatever I started off doing lifestyle television for Travel Channel. And, you know, we would go somewhere and we would explore and we would like, oh, this is the best restaurant. This is the best roller coaster. This is the best. So it was awesome to kind of show everybody the best. And you would get kind of a master's degree in whatever your show was. Right. So if I did a show about roller coasters for 6 months, then I like knew everything about, you know, G-forces and, you know, and it's kind of, and so now that's what's happening with wine. But wine is just, it's history. It's so much. And I have to say, you know, MJ, I saw MJ randomly on an old client of mine's IG Live, and there is an it factor. You have the it factor?
Lonnie,
I mean, I've been sitting here this whole time. I have to tell
you. Go ahead.
As a producer, you don't, like, I don't want to work harder. I want someone who already comes with it. And then I can write whatever you need to say to camera, or I can, like, format a show for you, or we can talk, you know, but you already have it. If I'm, like, hired on a show, and this is the host, and the host just doesn't have it, it's work. But with you guys, both of you, you have it. You actively listen. So if MJ says something, you didn't just go for the next question. Like, really, I can tell that you care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're actively curious. Like, you're not faking it.
No.
You're not like, okay. No. You're like, holy shit, what can I ask this person? I'm really into this.
Yeah.
And that's what it, you can't fake that. Mm-hmm. And then you also just have this energy where I want to talk to you because no one has gotten me on a mic. So
I know. I was like, this is so fucking dope.
I don't do this. But you know what?
This is so dope. I've said this before. There's no fucking podcast without Lonnie and Necessary Media. And it just started with me and her, and then it's just grown. And she had to bring on, and she just kept, she had to keep, she had to hire 4 more fucking producers.
Because
I'm a beast. I'm going. I got nothing else to do.
But also, and you would appreciate this, I think, to some degree, like, with your talent, you know, you're not going to just work with any producer.
Right, we went through that. Yeah.
And so, like, MJ's not going to just work with anybody. So, like, when I was like, okay, so MJ, you know, the rest of my company needs me, and you're just cranking out shows, and, like, I got to bring in someone else, and I, you know, hosts get very, like, oh, I don't want anybody.
I was like,
I don't like anybody.
I was like, And I'm just typically, you know, this is my California. I'm a Cancer monkey, so like, kind of a bit of a know-it-all, but not really. Like,
but I got, I matched him.
She did.
Is that an astrological thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you?
Aquarius.
Oh, I'm a Gemini. Yeah. We're both air signs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The newspaper just said entertainment purposes only. There's something real to it.
No, it's real.
Is it really?
I would tell you. I mean, see, this is one of my tangents. So, like I said before, what do we have all in common? We all live on this planet that's spinning around.
Yeah.
Inside of a cosmos with other planets spinning around. We have high tide. We have low tide. Why would that not affect us?
Right, right. That's certain all. Things look, have these
we
characteristics.
We still have our choice,
months.
But why? Yeah. But there is a. You want to be aware of like your decision, and it can help you be aware of like.
So it can be a slice of the pie,
exactly,
along with all
right.
of it, right?
Along yes.
With, okay, I can buy into that. Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do that. Well, I definitely like Lonnie. I want to have you do some voiceovers for like.
I mean, we need. I want to ask. I want to geek out and ask about your road coaster.
I'm totally.
Oh, the roadcaster. Okay, we'll talk about.
I'm totally psyched that you got her on the mic because.
Oh, good.
Because
this
she is.
I want to know what it's like to wrangle you in. That's what I want to
okay,
know.
Okay, so MJ is amazing.
Then we're going to do a collab podcast from East and West Coast.
Can we just, please?
Oh my God, this is.
I need you in New York.
This is too good. This
we
is
need
too
you
good.
At Gotham.
We are wrapping up. I know you got dinner reservations. We got Hospice to Rome this weekend. We're going to connect again. In fact, I'm doing a show at Hospice to Rome. I want you to jump
I'll
on the air with me.
By. Josh, man, thanks for
this
inviting
great,
me to
Josh.
Your winery, man, and letting us do this shit here. You're a cool cat, man. I'll be back.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Yo, it's your boy, MJ.
And I'm Adam Montiel.
Cheers, dude. To where wine takes you, my man.
Hey, are you guys going to help clean up? Is that...
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
You better call Saul. Everybody, just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge the wonderful support of the Leffert and Burns Foundation. See what I did there, Jeremy, for you and Mel? I'm podcasting your future for you. But thank you for making these special episodes available to all the listeners. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned something. You had some fun while you were here. Please subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. And if you want to be an insider and get special content, make sure you go over to blackwineguy.com and get on our email list.